You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
But where we're going to find out this, understand this is in the 23rd Psalm. Most of us know that Psalm, you know, very, very well. But before we read the scripture, I want to say this, is that, and if you've been in church a while, you've heard me say this many times, life is not a monument, it's a journey. You got to remember this. Life is not a monument. It's a journey. And one of the things that I say about life is this, is that life is not this thing where you get everything together. You get the job. I've got the job in place. I've got the relationship in place. I've got the marriage in place. I've got the house in place. I've got the kids in place. I've got the ministry in place. That's it. Nobody touch it. Look at it. Woo! No, life is never like that. You will never get it. If you're looking for that, life is a journey. Life is you're constantly going through journeys. There's going to be different parts of your life, different stages. There's time when you're going uphill, there's time when you're going downhill. That's the reality of it. And what that really reveals to us as well is that you've never been where you are now before. You've never been where you are now. You've never been. You might have been in a job like this before. You may be been in the same job for the last 50 years. You may be married to the same person for the last 50 years. You may be coming to the same church, but you've never been here before. There's never been today. This day is one and only. Today is the day. Tomorrow is gone. Tomorrow is coming. Yesterday was gone. Each day is new and presents itself with new challenges. Presents itself with new obstacles, because life is a journey and we must understand this. And so we're going to read Psalms 23. And so if we got this up on the board, can we put it up there? Okay, let's all stand because we know this psalm. Stand up, wake up, we are cop. I'm going to do like Pastor Alvin Smith. Don't worry, we're going to get him next year. The Bible says, I want you to read along with me, yeah? And so, 1, 2, 3. The Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me. He still, come on. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Come on, some of you are slacking off. My cup. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Take your seat. There you go. That was our scripture and our prayer. Be magnified, Jesus. Let me start by saying this. In this passage of scripture here, where the Bible is the Lord is my shepherd, this is where we get this from. Jehovah Rophi. This is where we get this from. Rohi. This is Yahweh Rohi. It's saying that the Lord is my shepherd. And so just as we spoke about Jehovah Jireh, we knew that Yahweh, the personal revelation, God who is personal and comes down to us, is a provider. And we looked at the Lord as our banner last week. What we want to know is that the Lord is my shepherd. Now, I want to say, first of all, some of us can't pray this, maybe. I hope not, but maybe there could be some people that can't pray this. It's because he's actually not your shepherd. He's actually not, you're not actually allowing him to lead you. And if you're not a Christian and you're not born again, living for Jesus, then you cannot say that he actually is your shepherd. You're backslidden today. It's going to be very difficult for you to honestly say that he's your shepherd. If he's not leading you, all you can say is, really, you could pray, the Lord is a shepherd. But can you make it personal today? See, what we're talking about here is being led. What are you following? Who are you following? What are you following? Who are you following? Is it Jesus that you're following? Can you actually say, the Lord is my shepherd? Or maybe some of you here, it's money that you're following. Maybe money is the deciding factor about your life. You know, this is the thing is that people, they wouldn't think about missing their day on the job because they would lose pay. But they don't think twice about missing church. People wouldn't think twice about, I couldn't miss a meal, but you're misreading your Bible. The reality is, who is leading you? I'm not here to bring condemnation, but who is leading you? Money, boss, boyfriend, girlfriend, family? Can you actually say, the Lord is my shepherd? Or would your psalm be, money is my shepherd, my career is my shepherd? I will tell you, those things will let you down. Those things will let you down. It will bring you to a place where it cannot get you out of. Jesus tells the disciples to follow him. Look at someone and say, follow him. Jesus is saying, follow him. A Christian is a follower of Christ. A Christian is someone who follows. And so the relationship that God wants with us, he wants us to know him as a shepherd. He wants you to follow him. That's what he wants. He wants you to follow, to let him lead you. He's not looking for just a buddy. Like to come down and, can I come over for the weekend and we can stay up in fellowship, play blackjack and eat crisps. That's not what God is looking for. Yes, there's relationship, but he wants you to be led by him. And what the Bible says is that if he's the shepherd, we're the sheep. Now there is a blessing of having God as our shepherd. There is a blessing when the Lord is our shepherd. And many, this is why we must know this. You know, in the psalm it says, I shall not want. What it's saying is, God is meeting my needs. How many want that? I want that. Listen, I want that. God is meeting my needs. He is meeting my needs. How many people are looking for their needs to be met by somebody else? Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what the economy says. It doesn't matter what the Chancellor of the Exchequer says. It doesn't matter what the boss says. God will meet my needs because he is my shepherd. And in the psalm he says, I shall not want. I want to experience that. He says, he also says, he lets me lie down in green pastures. What that means is that he leads me in a place where it's fruitful, where it's peaceful. He leads me to a place where there is a certain amount of him taking care of me, to a good place. How many want that? I want God to lead me to that place, a fruitful place. Besides still waters, this speaks of refreshing. This speaks of not being dry and thirsty. This is what this speaks of. This is when the Lord is your shepherd, this is where he's leading you. The Bible says he restores my soul. What this means is that he revives. To restore is to bring back. He revives us. Sometimes in life you feel drained. Sometimes I see people serving God, like, but it's so hard. It can be difficult, and many times it is labor intensive. It can feel draining. Life takes it out of you. Listen, being a parent, life can take it out of you. Yes, amen, parents? Amen. Being married, life can take it out of you. Being a real man, it will take it out of you in life. Because you've got to deal with business. You can't shirk it off. You can't, indecision. Too many men, they don't want to make decisions. Make decisions. You got to make decisions. Make a decision. A man is about making a decision. Listen, this is what we're going to do. This is where we're going to live. Listen, we're going to work it out. Don't worry. We're going to sort that thing out. We're going to get there in the end. Too many men, I'm not sure. What do you think? You got to make a decision, bro. Who are you going to date? Make a decision. I'm not sure. I'm kind of confused. Listen. Make a decision. Live with that decision. Get married. Make a decision. And so many times we're like, yeah, you know, the brothers and sisters. But all of that, it can be draining because you've got to remain strong. You've got to remain strong. You're carrying things. You're protecting your family. The pressures that come on you as a man, many times, you're not passing those pressures on to your family. You're taking them on. That sometimes the husband is dealing with things. You don't need to tell the wife everything. No, I need to know everything. No, listen. All you need to know, you're safe, you're taken care of, you need some money, there's some money, go sort yourself out. Listen, I'm going to deal with things. I'm not saying you can't deal with it, but that's the reality. It's the first line of defense. It's in the physical, we see it. If someone comes in your house, it's not like the wife that gets out of bed. Who's there? It's the man that will get. Listen, you got to go for the man. You're going to have to go for the man first. That can be draining sometimes. Well, let me tell you this. When the Lord is your shepherd, he will restore your soul, man. Man of God, he will restore your soul. He will put it back in you. You're out with your friends, and you know, you're going to work, and you're around old friends, and they're draining, and they're temptation, and people are swearing, and this and that, and there's girls lusting, and all of this. And you're like, my days, I'm trying to, oh, I feel drained. Let the shepherd lead you. He will restore your soul. As a wife, taking the responsibilities. You know, so many times people talk about, you know, the virtuous woman. And you read that in the scriptures. Listen, that woman's doing a lot. That woman's doing a whole leap of lot. That woman's doing a lot of stuff, man. I remember reading it. I was looking at it. I was going, yeah, I think we need to do a series on that woman, man. That woman ain't no joke. Because I said, yeah, the virtuous woman, I like the woman. You listen, you ain't doing what she's doing, sis. You like it, but we try to, listen, you better do some stuff. Because she just ain't getting her hair and her nails done and her eyelashes. She's not just coming to church looking good. I'm here, got my Bible. No, she was doing something. To be a virtuous woman is tiring. It's draining. But if you allow the shepherd to lead you, he will restore. As you're drained out, the levels have gone down. He says, come, let me lead you. And he fills you back up. He restores. He restores. Listen, there are times when we make mistakes. Okay, sounds like I make mistakes. You never make mistakes, no problem. There's times when we make mistakes. There's times when we falter, when we fall. There's times when we doubt. There's times when we worry, when we know we shouldn't worry. There's times when we do things that we shouldn't do. Listen, the Bible says he will restore you. Sometimes we lose ground when we should have took ground. He says he'll restore you. He can restore. He can restore. Friendships, relationships. He's a restorer. This is what we need. When you follow the shepherd, he restores. Let me tell you this now. He restores not because we're so good. The Bible says, you know why he does it? He does it for his namesake. Do you know what that says? Why? For his namesake. You know why God is so good to us? For his own namesake. Because his name is on the line. That's why God keeps blessing you. He's blessing you, blessing you, blessing you. And you think, yeah, he's blessing me. I'm so faithful. I'm so righteous. I'm not like the rest of these filthy backsliders. I'm so this and I'm so that. No, you know why he's blessing you? He's blessing you for his namesake. Because of his own name. Because he's put his name on you. He's doing it because he is righteous. He just loves you. Listen, you've been unfaithful, you've been this. But he's still blessing you. He's still willing to restore you after you faltered. You know, the first time, the second time, the second thousand time, you've still faltered, and he'll still restore you when you cry out to him for his namesake. This is the shepherd that we need. How many know we want this? I shall not want. He lays me down in green pastures, beside still waters. He restores my soul. All of these promises I believe we can have because they're in the word. When we allow the Lord and we know him, Yahweh Rohi, when we know him as the shepherd. Well, the Bible says this, he leads us in paths of righteousness. See, what the Bible shows us is sometimes the shepherd, he leads us in the right path, which is the righteous path. But the Bible didn't say he leads us in the easy path. You know how some people make decisions? They have inside of them, there's a decision-making process. And so this is how they make decisions. So imagine if we was just to pull back the reality of someone's thinking process and we saw inside their brain. And just imagine, we're in their brain now. This is their brain. And so a decision is come their way. This is a decision. Do we go left? Do we go right? Which way do we go? And this is how some people make decisions. Which is the easiest? If I go right, people might not like me. That's a bit of a difficult decision. I might have to make some sacrifices. I might have to go without for a while. If I go left, everyone might like me. I get what I want. My flesh is happy. I'm comfortable. That's the decision. That's the decision. But the Bible says no. You know how we are supposed to make decisions? This is, let's look into the Christian's mind now. Decisions come across. Okay, what's the decision? What is the right thing? Not what is the easy thing. This way may be harder than this way. That means nothing. What is the right thing? What does God's word say? And if this way is the right way, even though it's the harder way, this is the way the shepherd will lead us. See, this is why many people stop following the shepherd. Because if it's just that first bit, I shall not want. Green pastures, still waters, restoring. Hey, I'll follow him anywhere. But the Bible says, no. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads you in a path. And so you follow Jesus. You're like, yeah, I'm following Jesus. Green pastures, here we come. Restoring the soul, here we come. And then you come to a crossroads. And then he starts to go down this road. Whoa, the road is too tough, man. No. Let's go down this road, Jesus. No. I go on the right road, not the easy road. Psalms 37:23 says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor their descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. The Bible says here is that the steps of a good man. And what, you know, let me break this out. What it's saying is a man who wants to do good, who's righteous, who's trying to follow God, his steps are ordered by God. So this path, that is the right path. So this is the right path. Jesus is going down this way. And you start to go down the right path. The Bible says now your steps are ordered by God because you've gone down the right path. Let's put some scenarios in there. You're going for a job. A friend of you says, look, I can get you this job. You're like, perfect. Let's go for the job. He says, yeah, but you've got to tell him that you've done this and you haven't done it. How many of you are at crossroads? You're at crossroads. What do you do? Now, if I need a job, I need to make money. So if I just tell him I did it, I go down here. It's easier, it's more comfortable, I'm making money. But this is not the right road. It's the easier road, but it ain't the right road. Jesus is not down that road. What Jesus says is, no, follow me down this road. You're like, Jesus, if I tell them, it's going to be difficult. There's a guy in your workplace. That guy in your workplace, he's been calling you and making eyes at you or whatever the people do nowadays. And you know, you're a young single woman. You're like, you know what? I could live for Jesus, man, but I need a husband. You might be looking at this and you're thinking, if I go down the right road, I might remain single for God knows how long. And literally, God knows how long. And that, you know, that's not blasphemy. That's the real deal. God knows how long. Or let me just go on a date with him and then bring him to church, buy him a Bible. Who knows, man? You know, give him, you know, you're giving him like tailor-made albums and Only Human, hoping that he's going to get saved. You're at a crossroads. What do I do? The Bible says this. If you go down this road,
God's ordering your steps. God is taking your steps because you're doing the righteous thing. You may not know where it ends, but the Bible says when you go down that road, your steps are ordered by God. When you go down this road, you're by yourself. Yahweh Rohi, this is the Lord, my shepherd. And in our text, this is what he says. And this is so, listen, this really touched me this week when I was reading this. He says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. When you're on this road, you may fall. You make mistakes. He says, but you'll make it. You make it. See, that don't mean we're perfect on this road. That just means we're following him. Listen to what he says here. And then he goes into this. He said, I've been young and I've been old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Why would he put that? Because sometimes on this road, you've told the boss, no, I haven't got that experience. You've told that guy, no, I only date Christians. And now you're like, well, am I going to be broke and single, living with my cats for the rest of my life? He says, listen, you've got to remember, everyone that's gone down that road, they've never been forsaken. God has never let them down. He says, you better understand. He said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen anybody on this road go without. You tell that boss whatever it is, God will see you through. I've never seen them begging bread. That's what he's saying. See, this is the difficulty many times. Will we follow the shepherd? Someone, you know, you want to lie on things. I remember when I was renewing my insurance and some things came up that I never knew that were on there. And some of it was, a few years ago, there was like, Mr. Lowe, these are the things, are these things correct? And I knew if they do that, man, my insurance is doubling. You know why I just have to say, let it double, and God, you just got to double me. Listen, you just got to double me. You got to give me more money then. One thing I say to people, I'm no good at haggling. Do you know that? I'm a terrible haggler. Some people are good at haggling, like getting a deal. Hey, how much you want for that? I'm bad. I'll be like, how much you want for that? They'll say 100. I say 50. They say no 100. I say, all right, pay 100. I'm no good at it. I've tried it. I just look worse. I start to sweat, go red. They're like, yeah, we got him. I'm no good at it. I said, God, I can't haggle. You need to just hook me up. Because I'm going to be paying full price. You need to bless me, man. Proverbs 16 verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than a vast revenue without justice. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Think about this now. Imagine people, they want to go into business or they want to do something financially. And what they do is they start to cut corners. You know, they start to do things in their life which are blatantly compromising. You know what the Bible says? It's better to have a little with God than to have a lot without him. Yeah, no, I lost a lot of you there. A few of you went, yeah, that's all right. Yeah, okay, yeah. No, is that? No, it's better to have a little with God than to have a lot without him. See, if you believe that, then you will do the right thing. You will do the right thing. I remember there was a job I went through one time, and the boss said, you have to work Sundays. And I said to the boss, no, I'm not working. I was going for that job. They said, listen, either you work Sundays or you lose the job. You have to take the job. Yeah, I'd rather have a little with God than a lot without him. Now, I'm not saying it's a rule or a standard. Don't go from here. Hey, you can't. No, listen, if you want to work every Sunday that God sends, that's up to you. And if you're working Sundays right now, don't get convicted. I'm going to leave. Listen, pray God will give you the breakthrough. You don't need to go in tomorrow. Listen, God told me. Don't go tomorrow. Hey, I want to leave. You don't pray, you don't fast, you don't read your Bible. Then you go in there and tell them that. But I knew something in me just said, no, I won't. I've never missed church on a Sunday. Why should I do it? I won't. Why should I do it? No. I was like, just no. I was just something like righteous indignation. No, why should I? Why should I? No. God owns everything. God owns this company. Squash this company. If he's, God can do anything. And then the guy was, you know, he started to threaten me. One thing is, don't threaten me. Because if you threaten me, then you've lost the battle. Because I'll be unemployed for a year just to spite you. Because I will not be threatened. I will not be bullied. And so I was like, no. But you know what? God turned it around. God turns it around. Because let me tell you this now. You want to do things. You want to plan things. You want to do all of that. The Bible says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Listen, you could be making plans right now. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. No problem. Make your plans. But unless God is in them, listen, those plans, it will be blown away. See, the Bible shows us that he leads them as a shepherd through a path. But this path that the shepherd leads them, it brings them to two places nobody don't want to go. And one of them is the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, I don't want to go there. The valley of the shadow of death. No one don't want to go there. And also, it says, in the presence of my enemies. How many of you, listen, I was saying something this the other day. I hate tension. I'm someone, I just don't like tension, man. I don't like tension with people. I always want to resolve it, but I've learned you can't resolve everything. And sometimes you just got to be like, look, I love you, you hate me. God is good. That's it. I've tried. You don't want to love me, no problem. I love you, you hate me. That's just the way it is. People in the church, some of you, maybe you hate me. I love you, you hate me. God is good. But I don't like tension, but sometimes you got to live with it. But the worst place to be is a place of tension. And the Bible says that in the presence of my enemies. Sometimes the path that he leads you, it's like where your enemies are. So I hate it here. Can't I be where my friends are? Can't I, this is where my friends are. My friends, my old homies are here. He's like, no, I want you over here. In the presence of your enemies. Listen, we love the green pastures. Restores my soul. I shall not want. I like that. Presence of enemies? No. Valley of shadows of death. Where you're going through a place and you start to realize that the mountains are getting higher and higher to such a point you no longer see the light. You don't know if it's day or night. It's so dark that your problems start to loom over you, overshadow you. You feel tiny because of your inadequacies of your situation, problems, whether it's health, whether it's family, whether it's financial, and now you feel dwarfed. All you feel is the shadow. You no longer feel the light. A shadow is when something comes in between you and that which is light, between you and that which is God. Sometimes your problems can feel like they're slipping between you and God. It's like, when was the last time I felt God? When was the last time I felt that, you know, like, have you ever been somewhere and it's like, it's, I don't know, it's spring or it's summer, you're outside, you thought it was going to be hot all day, you've got a t-shirt and the sun's there and then the cloud goes over and you're like, and then the sun comes out and then the cloud passes again and then the rays hit you and you start to warm up again. Sometimes it feels like that with God, that you feel God on you. You come to church, you're doing everything for God, your prayer life, your Bible life. And other times it feels like there's a cloud over you. It's like, as much as I pray, where is he? As much as I read, where is he? I come to church and they go, hey, didn't we feel the presence of God? And you're like, yeah, amen. I didn't feel nothing. Just be honest. You can think, is this where God's led me? Is God, have you led me down this? Have you led me to this point in my life? This is where you must have the journey mindset that I spoke about in the beginning. This is where you must realize life is a journey, not a monument. It's not going to be forever. Look at someone say, it won't be forever. Listen, it won't be forever. you cannot see a way out. You cannot see any hope. You cannot see a change. That's the valley of the shadow of death. That is the place where you cannot see, cannot figure out. You've done the maths. You've looked at everything. You've called everybody. I've prayed for you many times. Nothing has changed. You cannot see a way out. Can I say to you, at that point, you must say to yourself, this is a journey. This is not where I will be all my life. He says, yea, though I walk, you've got to keep going through. See, the problem is some of you, you've set up tent there. You've changed your address. You've called up your credit card, your bank, your gym membership. This is where I live now. Number one, Valley of the Shadow of Death. SW18 or whatever. This is where I live now. No. Today, pack up your tent. Pack up your stuff. Just keep walking. I'm coming through. I will come out the other side. There will be a light at the end of the tunnel. I will get through this. You are my shepherd. You will lead me out of this darkness. See, we need the shepherd in these dark hours. Because the psalmist says, listen, because he knows Jehovah Rohi, because he knows he's a shepherd, he says this, I do not fear. See, because that's the issue. That's the real issue, because we're all going to go through valleys. But some of us are consumed by fear. And once we become consumed by fear, everything that we do is a reaction to our fear. Everything we do is a reaction to our fear. Every relationship, every decision financially, everything is out of fear. Fear. But the Bible says that the psalmist, he does not fear. David, how can you go through this and not fear? Well, it's in the psalm. He says, I will not fear because you are with me. He knows the shepherd. See, do you know the shepherd today? Do you know the shepherd? Are you trying to walk the path of righteousness by yourself? No. Listen, the path of righteousness is insignificant. What is significant is the shepherd that leads us through the path of righteousness. See, it's all about the shepherd. Because when you have a right relationship with the shepherd, in your darkest hours, the Bible says he will comfort you. His rod and his staff will comfort you. He will keep you on track. He will keep you. You will feel his presence. The Bible says he will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. You got to understand, when you study this psalm, many of us have read it, but there's a shift here. There's a change. Because in the beginning, it's almost like we understand he's the shepherd. He's speaking as a shepherd. But then at this point, it changes. And even as a shepherd, obviously we understand the connotations there. But now he becomes a friend. Because he says this, you prepare a table. You've asked me over for dinner. That's what the Bible is saying. He's prepared a table. He wants to have fellowship with you. Even though you're going through this darkest moment, the Bible says he prepares a table for me in the midst of my enemies. When everything around me there is tension and confusion, God says, listen, I want you to have a meal with me. I'm going to feed you. This is the whole thing. We said, anoints my head with oil. We understand that this is a traditional preparation for a meal. Remember when Jesus goes for a meal and he says to the guy, listen, you did not anoint my head with oil. Because that was a standard thing. When a guest comes over, you would anoint their head with oil. It's preparing for the meal. We're going to sit down. And the Bible says, listen, he's calling you at this darkest moment. Everything around you makes no sense. He's calling you at this point to say, listen, I am so with you at this moment. I am so with you. Do you know him? He says, my cup runneth over. This is above and beyond blessing. This is what we want. Let me close. I remember years ago hearing about, and I've not seen it, but a film,
pursuit of happiness or pursuing happiness. And it stuck in my head. And I was thinking about that. Just the title is that. That's really the mantra. That is the tag. You know, different things, corporations, branding, Nike. You know, just do it. They have their slogan. Really and truly, mankind's slogan, especially here in our generation, is the pursuit of happiness. That's people you work with, your family. That's their thing. The pursuit of happiness. Where is it? Oh, it's in the club. Quickly, let's go. Where is it? Hey, it's in fornication. It's in sex. Let's go. Money, clothes. God, where is it? We're pursuing happiness. Listen, the Bible calls us. Listen, as Christians, we do not be pursuing happiness. What we need to worry about is following the shepherd. You do not need to worry. Listen, Christian, child of God, you're born again, you're saved, you love Jesus. Stop trying to pursue happiness and give all of your energy to following the shepherd. Yeah. Knowing the shepherd. Because listen, when you know the shepherd, the Bible says this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. The Bible says that goodness and mercy, what he's speaking about is this, we could say like his blessing, his favor, happiness follows you. Happiness is, look, hey, there they are. Let's get them. Happiness follows you when you follow the shepherd. So many times people are looking for happiness and not finding it. Looking for happiness in the wrong places and never finding it. And even Christians still wishing one day God will bless them with that. They'll be happy. Come on, let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. There's single people here that you're thinking, once I'm depressed right now, but I'm going to hang on. Because I understand I'm single and I'm saved, but I'm depressed. But when I get a husband, or when I get a wife, then I'll be happy. Or when I get a job, I'll be happy. No. You don't. That's not the goal. You know what the goal is? The goal is follow the shepherd, and happiness, his joy, will chase you. He chases you. When you're following the shepherd, when you're on this path, this is why the devil wants to get you off the path. This is why the devil will be like, no, happiness is down here. Come follow me. Down here, let's go down here. I'll bring you to happiness. He'll bring you down here, beat you like a drum. You come back. Hey, I didn't find it, man. The shepherd says, just follow me. You're following him. Who's there behind me? What are you doing? You want to go? You're following me. Who are you? Goodness and mercy follows you. Goodness and mercy is your stalker. It's stalking you. Everywhere you go, you can run. Goodness and mercy will be chasing you. Goodness and his mercy. Think about this now. His goodness, meaning his favor, his blessing. You're someone you need finances.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.